Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do for you new people here is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth, one is a lie. We try to figure out which one is a lie. If you are listening to us on Spotify, on Podbean, on iTunes, know that we go live and you can join us live on the Comedy Stores YouTube. Did it?
On iTunes.
You can come get us on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasting needs. But you can come play along with us, and we love it. We have a regular participants, and it's really a lot of fun, and we've been very lucky with that. And we also have with us today our on-air producer, Mr. Austin Walker, today sitting in for
Michael Evans.
It's Brett Erickson. Say hello, Brett. Put yourself on camera.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah.
Look, there I am.
Yay. Yay. So anyway, so Jessica, will you introduce our wonderful guests?
I would love to. Across from me, this gentleman has a great show that is all over, even in Canada now.
Yeah.
Right? The Gateway Show. He's a great comedian, originally from up north in the Northwest. This is Billy Anderson.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome, Billy Anderson. We're so glad to have you back because we did have Billy on our podcast when it was just an audio podcast, and it's really nice for you to come back and play the game with us because we are a podcast and a game in person and on camera. Thank you, Billy.
It's amazing. Thanks for having me. I moved on up since we were in that weird bar.
I know. I know, right?
The last one. Yeah, this is amazing.
Wasn't it a VFW or something where we did
it's
that?
It's an American Legion, and you know, us vets have to have somewhere to go to.
No, I'm not mad
at
it.
They get very upset when you mix up those two. They've been at war for a long time. Yeah. American Legions and VFWs.
Right. And over to my left, this guy, he is like a drummer from hell. He can drum. He's such a good drummer. He is an okay comedian.
Jesus. Jesus. You know, he'll beat your ass in tune. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus. He looks great in underwear. You've seen him on Kill Tony, playing the drums, making little jokes. It's really funny. This is Joel Jimenez.
Yay. Boom. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Together, they're Billy Joel. So,
wow.
God damn it.
That's only after we hook up, though. We need our couple names.
We just lost three listeners, Austin.
You watching the feed, too?
Yeah. So why don't we, real quick, before we start off our stories, tell you some good news that we have. Jessica?
Yes. So we have a sponsor now. You know how you guys are like, hey, we don't make any money here, and we put everything we have into the podcast. We'd love to help. You can do that.
Jesus. Jesus. That's a pitch from hell.
We're really broke. You can do that by going to Blue Apron, getting started with them. They give you a great deal if you use the promo code LIARS, right? And they also have wine.
Yes, you can do a great wine pairing add-on. You get 6 500-milliliter bottles of wine, and you can pick all reds, all whites, or mix and match. And each wine comes with its own tasting notes, pairing tips, and the story behind the wine. Because sometimes when I get all liquored up, I want to know the story behind the wine.
Right, and they'll give you $30 off your first order. Just put in promo code LIARS.
And this is an aside, but I was telling my son, oh, we got a new sponsor. And then I told him it was Blue Apron. He's like, I want to try Blue Apron. And I was
really?
Like, yeah, so we're going to try it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, put in our code, damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's what we're going to do. All right. So why do you want to start? Should we start the stories?
I'm down. You guys have anything you want to say before we get started?
Nothing other than you guys know your audience when you're like, Blue Apron, now with liquor. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love how you guys are so stone-faced, like ready for this.
I'm terrified.
I've already warned the audience that Joel is very nervous. Because
oh, you're telling on me? What the fuck? Yeah,
he told me emphatically before that I am very nervous to be here.
And I think this is kind of like you're cheating because you've already done it. I haven't.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness they started the podcast by shitting on you. So that's
your
confidence up. Uphill.
If I would have been different, it would have made him more nervous because we normally are.
That's
with
right.
Each other.
Yeah, for sure. So why don't you start off, Billy, since I was going to do him. Then I thought, no, let's be nice and let Billy start it.
You're nervous.
Whatever you do, don't crack.
Oh, I'm going to do
So even if it's obvious you're lying, just keep up with it, okay?
Right. Okay, cool, sure.
Even if we're like, you're just a fucking liar, pretend like you are not.
No matter what happens here, you've always got drumming.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, barely. Yeah. That's what a comedian wants to hear. It's like, you always got that other thing you're not
and
really.
And by the way, one backup more than we all have.
I was about to say. Okay.
Maybe I can work for Blue Apron.
He really is an amazing drummer.
When I tell myself, it's like, well, if this doesn't work, you have nothing, Billy. This is all you have.
All right. So start your story there, Billy.
Yeah. So for story number one, I'm going to talk about my first trip to Los Angeles, June of 2016, when I was just a budding young comic. I came down here and I had one of the worst sets of my life. But after that,
seems
I was on
plausible.
Exactly.
Here at the Comedy Store?
Nah. No. Oh. Cool. It was that was the second set I'd ever done here. The first set was at some sort of it was like was it Wake and Bake? Was that the name of the place that used to have the, it was in the back of the thing and they did smoking inside of it?
Oh, yeah.
It was
it's in North Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't think it exists anymore.
No, they got shut down when marijuana got legalized. They started regulating everything.
Yeah, marijuana got legalized. They're like, let's get rid of this. Yeah. This is making us look bad. It was just rough. It was just a back patio show. But anyway, so I did like a lot of comics and I just went to Tinder. I was like, somebody validate me, you know? So I hooked up with this girl and ignoring all the parts in between, we were midway through the act and I thought it was going really great. And all of a sudden it started feeling a little better. So I'm like, maybe I'm just really kicking it up a notch and doing better for myself, better for her. She was enjoying it. But that's not what happened. I pulled out and I definitely lost the condom inside of this woman, which had never happened before happened afterwards.
My apologies, Billy. I thought you were still talking about the comedy. I was like, what? You went to Tinder and then what?
It was very very experimental comedy.
He had a
comedy.
Bad set, so he needed to get laid.
See. Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't want to just jump it into it, so I'm banging this broad, right? I was trying to set the mood, you know?
All right.
So anyway, so I'm banging
this broad.
You're
bad at
right?
it anyway. And,
apparently she wasn't great at it either because it came off and I'd never had that happen before or after that this one time thing.
All of a sudden her vagina was too tight.
Yeah, exactly. Too much kegeling, maybe that was the problem. Yeah, over kegeling. But anyway, so at that point I had to let her know, which I had not ever had to do before, and there's just no good way to do. So I tapped her. I was like, hey, you know, lost a condom inside of her. And she literally went, where? You know, that'd be a bigger problem.
Right.
If you didn't know where. But it was really embarrassing. But the one thing I did swing it into is I was like, well, I mean, probably don't need to use a condom for the rest of the night anyway now, right? So we're pretty good. So
Jesus.
She and of course, well, and of course she was like,
is.
Of course she was like,
which I'm sure she loved.
She was like, oh, she was like, you're such a romantic. No, she was like, we're going to go to CVS and buy some Plan B now because I don't trust that you didn't come as well, you know? And so we went down to the 24-hour CVS or whatever, Walgreens. I don't know. I don't want to mess up one of your sponsorships if they're the opposite. But we went through there and I had no idea how expensive Plan B was at that point too. It was like $80, mm-hmm. which I had no idea.
So still
I
found about myself, that.
And I thought, yeah, you're like, yeah. And no matter how much I buy, they don't give you a bulk discount or anything either. But I was looking at like generic Plan Bs and stuff, and this woman was just tapping her toe. I've just been the worst Tinder date ever at this point.
So it was like a one-night stand. You had never met her before.
I never met her before.
It was after having a good set.
Bad set.
Tinder, a horrible
bad set.
No,
I'm
went,
sorry, a bad
it
set.
It was just, this is almost made me never move to LA. I was like, this is just embarrassing. I don't want But so we're looking.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And I'm my apologies for interrupting. But when you first told her that you had lost a condom inside of her, what did you try to fish it out, or did she try to jump up and down, or did she try to go fish it out?
She fished it out because I got tiny little Irish hands. It was never going to work out that way if I tried to get rid of them anyway. No, she fished it out within about a minute or two because there was a moment of just like paused silence and judgment in the middle of it all, where she's like, "You did what? You know, and like where?" And then she went and got it. And then I was just like, hey, we could, you know, we can not use them. We have other condoms. I was really trying to salvage it. I swear to you, I was trying so hard to be like, hey, you know what happens, you know? I was broke too. That was also the brokest I'd ever been. So I also had to pitch the idea of splitting this cost of the Plan B with this woman
you
too.
You did?
I didn't have a whole lot of money at that point. We were on tour. I'd spent all the money to get
that's
on
what me
tour
too gets
down.
You now. You got to fucking go halvesies on the Plan B.
Yeah, well, feminism swings both ways.
so often we're doing that stuff alone, though, so I'd be glad to get half.
Oh, and listen, as much of joking as I made, I felt horrible about the whole thing, and I was fully went with her, like, let's go do this, and then I was like, let me watch you take it. But other than that, she was, but we went in there, and I'm looking at, like, there are generic Plan Bs. They're not very much cheaper. They're
what
like
is it
$10.
Called, like, generic, like, it's Plan like B minus?
Plan C. Yeah, Plan D or E. It was something like Our Time or something really weird and Lifetime channel sounding, you know? And I went with the Plan B because I didn't want to risk it on the generic not working over $10. So we got that, and then I had to tell the guy at the cash register, I was like, hey, we're gonna need to split this. Can you like split this into two things because we only have credit cards? And he went, wow. Anyway, not a lot of women would be cool with that. And then I just was well, I didn't accidentally come in those women. So here we are.
You actually said that?
Yes, I did, because it was too funny to pass up in that moment.
Did you ever see that girl ever again?
No, but I don't think that was the thing that made her not want to see me again. So.
And you didn't have sex again after that?
No, for sure, ever again after that. So I'm good.
You cut your dick off.
Just cut it off and left it inside of her.
What kind of condom was it? Do you remember the brand?
It was the yellow Lifestyles Ridged, which I get because I've just always gotten them. Uh-huh. And at this point, there you go.
I wonder if they're ridged. Is that what they're called? Ridged?
Rib.
I don't even know.
Ridged is what chips are. That's right.
Because I was married for so long, you know, we didn't use condoms, but I wonder if ribbed condoms get stuck in there more like a cat's penis.
You know? Like a screw.
Wouldn't it be more wouldn't it be more of the guy's problem for it getting lost?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean,
the idea is that they're supposed to wrap around our penis,
their penis nice and tight.
Right.
Yeah. No, this was on me.
Do you know what size those condoms were?
Too big, I guess, that day.
I know. I was trying when you said little tiny Irish fingers. I was like, don't say anything. Don't say anything.
The palms are regular size.
They have those little ones.
I've never had it happen before. I didn't feel it. Like, it wasn't like it felt like somebody like pantsed me or something. Mm-hmm. It just...
You couldn't feel it? Yeah, you couldn't feel it coming off your penis?
I distinctly remember being like, something feels different, but it didn't feel like the condom was gone. Because once you have it on, you just get used to the feeling of it after like a minute or so, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it was just like, oh, this is great.
What were you going to say, Joel?
Oh, I was just going to say they sell those little mini ones like for when you burn your finger or you cut your finger. They go there.
Mini condoms!
Maybe try those.
Did you buy the condoms or did she have the condoms?
I bought the condoms. It was one of those little tiny packs that have three of them in it that you can get at the gas
station.
That's all I buy. Oh my God.
That's so fucking hopeful. That's so hopeful.
Well, they don't sell them in single packs.
The box of 16 is hopeful. Yeah. The big box is hopeful.
You can't go into a gas station and be like, I'm have one condom. Do you have single condoms? Yeah. Do you have loose condoms?
That and a cigarette. It was a Lucy.
All right. So, Austin, do we have any comments online?
Matthew Bowen says that he prefers barbed condoms as well. That's
I bet you do, Matthew.
His alley. Ken Lofgren is not buying this story. He's a big time skeptic, and he thought that the jump from going to buying from losing the condom to buying the Plan B is something that he could not get on board with.
But it does kind of make sense, Ken. I mean,
but I thought,
and I will say, I know that Billy is big on the tenders.
Did we have a guest on that told one of Billy's stories one time? I thought it was somebody you mutually knew and told a story similar to this. I thought it was ringing a bell.
I know. It does ring a bell. It does sound familiar.
Is it cheating if I look back at our podcast list to see what we released?
I don't remember. Because I would remember losing a condom, I think.
Yeah, but story.
It was something that I was distinctly similar. Remember you saying, I think that's a Billy Anderson story, and it ended up being.
Maybe I was just there with him.
Oh, it might have been Michael Evans.
Yeah, Mike and Mike.
Was it a car accident? Like on the freeway?
No, that was him with his leg.
All right. Anyway, we're very thrilling over here, and we're going to move on to our second of our first stories. Your turn.
Oh, shit. Okay.
A very nervous Joel.
All right. I'm from a neighborhood called Frogtown in Northeast LA. How dare you? My address is... Frogtown's like Northeast LA. It's down the hill from Dodger Stadium. So we're in between the LA River and the freeway. And now it's super gentrified and like the river's clean and there's lights and stuff. But when I was a kid, it was like there would be kind of holes cut into like the fences. And so people would like take bolt cutters and sort of like, there was less, once you got into the river, you'd have to wait till you got to the next one to get out. And now it's like all open. But I was maybe 13 years old, and me and my friend, who shall remain nameless, we're walking down the river at night to get home. And there was this guy, there are these like, back in the 90s, there's these like cat holes that are where the water comes out of when it rains.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always like homeless people in there and stuff. And there was, some of them are cracked. And so they go in to like live in the holes.
In the cat holes.
Yeah. And so this, we were walking home and we saw this guy down there and, trying to just like keep walking and avoid him. And he goes, Hey, he starts like whispering and we're like, what's up? And he goes, do you guys want a flashlight? Do you guys want to buy a flashlight? And so we go down there, we're like walking and, you can see him sort of, it's angled. It's like on a thing. And he goes, do you want to buy a flashlight? And we're like, no, we're good. We're just trying to like keep walking. And then he pulls this trash bag thing off and there's a dead body under the trash bag. And, what the fuck was that? Yeah. How the fuck do you think I felt?
How could you tell it was a dead body?
Because he had a flashlight.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, yeah.
Fair enough. So it was at, was it dusk or at night?
It was at night.
It was at night. So
yeah,
he's like, want to buy a flashlight? And then he pulls it back. And then he's like, flashing the flashlight on the dead body.
It was weird because it's like, I think about it all the time now. And it's like buying a flashlight. Like, what the fuck?
And you just left.
And I think about it now, like in those movies where dudes have jackets and like watches and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's how I hear it now. Like, you want to buy a flashlight? Like, but yeah, it was, and so we just like ran and went home and it's fucked with me. I still see it to this day.
What did the dead body look like? And I'm sorry if it's emotionally like PTSDing you, but what did
you
it look like?
You told the story.
I did bring it up. I is a weird word to use, but not fresh.
Yeah.
It had been there for a little bit. No.
Not at all.
No.
And when you say a cat hole, can you describe that a little more? Is it like the round cement pipes where the water pours out from like the side of the LA River?
Yeah,
right?
I say cat hole because like in the 90s, there was an artist who would draw cat faces on all of them. So they're like these big metal things with kind of cat ears at the top. And so you would go in and paint the ears and the face and stuff like that. But
okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No,
I just, did you tell anybody that you found a dead body?
Yeah, I ran home to my mom.
Yeah, and what did she do?
I don't remember.
She was like, how much is that flashlight?
No.
How could you pass up a great deal?
I don't know. I feel like, especially in neighborhoods like that, like you don't talk about things like that a lot. You just kind of like shove it down and...
Was she mad that you went and walked in the river?
No, because I was always getting into shit there. I was always like smoking weed there and other things as a kid.
So you said, hey, mom, I just saw a dead body.
Yeah, I mean, not like that. I'm sure I was distraught. I'm 32 now. That was like 13 years old when it happened.
Right.
I really remember is flashes of like seeing it and being like terrified.
Mm-hmm. This sounds very Stand By Me-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ken actually said that this almost coincides with every dead body story he's ever seen.
Maybe there's a fucking reason. Maybe because.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Oh, let me guess what the one running trend is. Maybe a dead body, you fucking idiot. I can't believe every story with a dead body has a dead body in it. Suck my balls.
Ivan, on the other hand, says this Frogtown story is riveting.
I hate all of these people. I'm kidding.
Brett, what do you think about this story? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, this is actually very interesting because the last time I had a condom come off inside of someone, I was looking at a dead body.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
go
kind
figure.
Of a mix of both.
Were you trying to sell a kid a flashlight?
No,
might be related.
I like to have sex with dead
was
people.
Was the dead body ribbed?
When I was done with it, it was.
Okay.
That's what I was waiting for to say. It's a weird word to use for the body, but it was sexy. It was sexy.
Was it a man or a woman?
It was a man.
And what did it have a beard? No beard? Did
no
it look
beard.
Homeless,
dirty.
Scruffy?
There's a lot of... there's a lot of like dirt and shit in these cat holes because people drink 40s and there's like leaves all the time. So I would say mossy. Like greenish, mossy, like really? Kind of, yeah.
And did you, no one called the police?
I don't know. I didn't.
Yeah.
It probably
snitches
the guy,
get stitches.
If it was
you know
a dead
saying?
Body, probably somebody that just died there and they didn't do anything with
bodies
it.
Get washed up all the time. They fall in like when it's raining and stuff like that and they get caught
oh,
in the current.
Oh, did it look like it could have been a body that
I have
had been
no
in
idea.
Water?
Very possibly.
Yeah. How far were you from the body?
I would say, okay, so there's the embankment. Uh-huh. Here's the cat hole. We were at the top of it. And so I would say like maybe from like the bottom of the floor to the ceiling, like we were standing up there, like looking down.
And you could see into the cat hole that came out?
No. He wasn't in the cat hole. There are these little like cutouts in the walls of the river. And so he was in the cutout.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So yeah, like when the pipe flows out and then there's a little indent, cement indent.
Yeah, so he was in the indent. Okay. Yeah. And we were walking along the top of the river where the bike path is.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, there's no doubt you know your cat holes.
Okay.
Did you ever go back into the cat holes after that?
Yeah, did you go check the next day?
No. Didn't go
what
back
did your
for a long
say?
Time. My friend was a little bit thuggy, so I think he just fucking... I
Yo,
think he
dog,
has,
let's
he has,
go.
Yeah, just like that. No, I think there are people who
Jesus.
Live like a certain way and don't... I didn't grow up around a lot of like emotionally open people, and I think that...
Are you going to cry?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, because you're touching me. That's why. I think he's like the type that maybe like just really shoved it down. Uh-huh. And I'm super anxious. So I think it's like fucked with me for a very long time.
Did you have a period of time where you didn't think about it and then it started coming back in panic attacks or waves like a couple years
later? I started working at the skate park right off of the river. Maybe I worked there 10 years. I started working there maybe around 21. And so when I started working there, I was like closer to the river a lot. And I remember like having kind of panic attacks.
But I want to know in the moment when you and your friend saw that, did you guys say anything or did you just run away?
Just
what
run.
Did you
yeah.
Do?
You say, oh fuck or whatever. You scream like, I didn't scream, but I like, yeah, it's a weird thing. Cause you think right. Like in movies and stuff, people see that sort of shit and react a certain way that you would think it would happen in a movie, but it's never like that in real life.
How many dead bodies have you seen?
I was in Catholic school for a while and they would make us.
That's a terrible way to answer.
And they would, I was in the choir and they would make us sing at funerals of people we didn't know. So I saw a few there. I was an altar boy for a while. So I've seen a few in that context, but, that's the only one in real life.
Do you have flashbacks? And this is, I'm not being snarky, but no. Do you have flashbacks when you go by cutouts in that kind of, and I'm being told, because there's a building on Laurel Canyon and Fountain that every time I drive by it, I remember doing cocaine and throwing up in a drug dealer's lap.
Wow.
Every fucking time. So do you, you know.
It's called PTSD is what they call it.
PTSD, throw a bowl over
I guess so,
deep.
But I saw all kinds of weird shit growing up there. There was like a period where there were like dead chickens and stuff around the river in the cat holes. And like one time there was a huge fish that I don't think those fish swim there. So someone, I thought they were doing like fucking witchcraft rituals or something like that. But
I'm going to tell you, if this story is true, I hate the way you tell stories.
I'm a bad fuck. What do you
think? He told this story great.
And thank you.
If this story is false, I'm going to be like, that's amazing.
Well real quick. You said this was what year?
I don't know. I was like 13 or 14.
Roughly what year?
You're 32 now. That,
I dropped out of high school. I don't know, 99, 2000-ish?
Okay. Just had some people checking online trying to
No, don't check online. We can't
Not they're checking. They're checking in the chat. They're asking.
Okay.
Like if there was a dead body found in the river in 2000. Good luck.
Dead bodies in Frogtown.
Somebody was just...
Give me their names. There's going to be another one.
Well, it's Ken Lofgren. And he was doing the math because he was saying that you would be 13. You're 32 now, so the year should be 2000. You said the 90s.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple
suck
of times,
my
not the 90s.
99 is 90s,
see,
you
this
idiot.
This is the Joel I like. All right.
All right.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right. I think we're going to let him take a breather. And
what I want to know is what the fuck does any of this have to do with the selling of the flashlight is what I want to know.
Yeah, that is very random.
That's the weirdest thing.
That's the weirdest
thing.
Part
it doesn't
of the
make
whole thing.
Sense.
Yeah, but that's what homeless people do, dude. That
guy, murder that, people and
the
sell
story
flashlights.
That I have where the homeless guy asked me if my jacket was bulletproof, that's true.
Ugh. When you say you hate my storytelling, are you talking about the craft? of it, like the way I
No, she's not at all. She's not at all.
Okay, that's what had I'll work on it.
No, no.
I just don't like how serious you got. I guess
no,
I'm not used
I love
to
it. That means you're good at the game. If he's lying, he's good at the game.
It was like, it was weird.
Well, Darkstar said that Joel's story is as loose as a snare drum. Whatever that means.
Or Billy's and chick he met on Tinder.
That was her name.
You attacked her.
Okay. All right, let's move along to Billy's second story.
So the theme is, this is the other, my other sex story here, is that I was running the Gateway Show in Sacramento at the Comedy Spot, shout out. And
by the way, the Gateway Show, if you ever see that coming up on Facebook, any in a town that you are at, that's a wonderfully fun show.
It's a show where we have comics stay sober all day. They do a set sober, and then we take an intermission. We get them super high on weed. And then they go back on stage and try to tell more jokes. Sometimes they're better, sometimes they're worse, always different. It's a lot of fun. So part of that show is we give out my phone number halfway through the show, and I have them text me, for example, like, what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten high, or what's the time when you were too high? And then while we're slowly letting everybody get back in from the intermission, I'll read through them, sort of roast them, pick out my favorites, give out prizes. Now, it's 100% not my intention. A lot of times people will message me later on from that number, usually dudes, usually not respecting my boundaries. But every now and then, we'll get like a gal that'll be like, what up? And I'm like, hey, I'm lonely, you know, as we've seen.
You got plan B money?
Yeah. Let me see your bank account. And so this was like October 2018, I think, about a year ago. I had a guy text me right after the show was over, and he's like, come meet me outside. And he handed me a bunch of mushrooms. And I've done mushrooms maybe twice before then, but it was a bag, maybe a half ounce of mushrooms.
See, again, Billy has one of these voices that everything sounds like a lie to me.
Yeah. I just sound like I'm trying to sell you property. I had a speech impediment when I was a kid. I had to learn to talk like
I had
this,
a speech impediment as a kid. I had to go to special class hour a day and say S's till the fucking cows came.
Did you have a lisp?
Yeah. Sally sold seashells by the seashore. I have to sit in front of my parents and have to mark a paper. She said it 30 times.
That's we're bonded. I had what the kids referred to as a gay lisp. So it was real nice. but it made me kind of over-enunciate. Yeah. But so I got handed all these mushrooms, and I asked the guy, because again, I've only done them a few times. Every other time someone had given them to me and just been like, take this amount. And I was like, how many of these should I do? And like every asshole with mushrooms, he's like, as many as you can handle or whatever. And I didn't know he was joking, but then he left. He just walked away. So I was like, all right, thanks, I guess. And I typically, when I'm in Sacramento, I stay at a hotel. So I figure, like, fuck it, you know, I'm just going to go eat these mushrooms and have a weird day at the Motel 6 or whatever shitty hotel I could find in Sacramento. And I ate a bunch of them right when I got there. And then I got another text on my phone from a gal who was just direct. And she had been to a couple of her shows because she had other text answers. So I don't delete them off my phone. So sometimes the joke is like, oh, well, you say that this month, but actually in June you said it was this. What changed? You know, whatever. So so I'd seen she had texted before, and we had like had like slightly flirty text back, but nothing overt. Just be like, well, hey, come back again. See me sometime, you know. And she just texted me directly. She said, hey, Billy, would you like to come over and fuck this pussy? And I've never in my life gotten such a direct, aggressive text message.
You're like, hold on, let me get some big-ass condoms.
I'm a pure Catholic. I was like, I'll pray for you. That's not.
We're going to fuck, and I'm going to check which way the wind is blowing later.
Is this pussy ready to house some latex?
Yeah. Do you have a condom that fits? Don't ask why. And so I had just eaten all the mushrooms like a minute before, but in my experience
with mushrooms. How many mushrooms?
Well, not all of them. I'd say like a handful is how many I took.
A little handful or a fucking handful?
At least four caps, as I've learned they're called now. Yeah. At least four caps, and I don't know how many stems, because I just thought like I was and ate it. Like maybe a small apple. Like a Fiji apple.
Oh, Jesus.
And I had not done a lot in my, but I didn't think that, but I thought she lived pretty close. I asked and she was like, I'm pretty close. And I told her I was downtown because we were over near the Comedy Spot. So I thought that I could maybe get to her house, hook up, and then either sleep or be gone before she knew I was high. And no, that's not how it worked. I took a quick shower because I was gross, because I get really sweaty at the Gateway Show from running around running everything. And by the time I was out, I'd already started to kind of feel him a bit. And so I drove there and I was driving on mushrooms and it took like 12 minutes because some part of the Sacramento freeway was like closed off. So I'm just driving up the freeway, keep having to miss my exits because they're closed. And every time I'm like, the longer this takes, the worse I'm going to be. And so I finally got to her house and I felt like I wasn't at the peak of it, but I was certainly tripping on mushrooms. And I was joking that she was going to be able to tell, like she's going to open the door and be like, what beautiful solid black eyes you have.
Wow.
And we're making out and I get real. I don't know if everybody's like this. Cause again, I've only done mushrooms now as of this weekend, 4 total times. I get very like hyper aware of my surroundings and super weirdly judgmentally critical of everything. And the whole time I'm just like making out with this girl and I'm just making out. It's fucking weird. I lose confidence in like, am I making out weird? Am I doing this wrong? Like how do you do it? And she was completely down, though, did not seem to notice. I've gotten denied for sex appropriately, very sober. And the fact that it started to turn into sex it baffled me in my high state. I'm like, there's this thought in the back of my head where I'm like, what if I'm like super sexy on mushrooms? Like, what if like that's how I seal the deal? Is like, maybe I just gotta always be on mushrooms and it makes me just relax. But if you'd seen a video, I'd just been like, you know,
so you're having shaking. This whole inner monologue as you guys are making out.
And I think maybe that made me seem aloof, you know, uh-huh. what I mean? And beyond it all, like that I'm just like in my head completely. She's talking like, what was that? I'm like ignoring her accidentally. And then,
yeah, that feels good when you're the chick.
Well, I mean, but I'm not talking about healthy, fulfilled right. people. I'm right. talking about, you know, somebody who would text me, you want to come over and fuck this pussy. She wanted to have rough sex, which usually I'm super down for, but I wasn't ready for it.
like what kind of rough sex?
Like she was like, fuck me like you hate me.
She said that to you?
Yeah, she looked me in the eyes and said that into my face, fuck me like you hate me. And I was so fucking high. The only thing I didn't say it out loud, but I thought, I was like, I've forgotten how to hate deer. I don't know how to do this anymore.
If I hate you, I can't get it up.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Hate sex is not a thing I'm
I guess
into.
It's not real though, right?
But
not
like rough sex, like, you know, take a stretch.
Sorry.
I think, you know, sometimes you just want it good and hard. Yeah. You know?
Sometimes you don't want to make love. You know what I mean? I get that.
Sometimes you just want someone to pull your hair a little bit, pump twice, go slow 3 times, pump twice, go slow 3 times. Yeah. Not pull your hair too much, notes? Just gentle, yeah. just gentle. More at the base of the neck right here, yeah. not on top. Don't snatch me bald-headed, but the base.
Like not like a painful thing, more of a control thing. Yeah.
You got to reach in from the bottom with the fingers.
Yes, and then grab those.
Or if they shave their head, just sort of grip.
Yeah, that'll be me.
Yeah, just grip them. and there's no big payoff to it other than that I'm fairly confident she never wanted to see me again after that, which I have like in my opinion, pretty good record of seeing people. I have affairs, not one night stands, you know, but yeah, I'm sure I did not give her what she was looking for that night.
So how did it, you just then slowly creeped back out of her place? Like how was the dismount?
I don't fully remember
driving back all fucked up.
I remember halfway through, she looked me in the eyes and said, I can't believe I'm fucking the comedian from the show.
Oh, wow.
And nothing made me want to.
Okay, this story is true. This story is absolutely true.
Nothing made me want to lose my heart on and lose a condom inside of her more than that moment.
That's where I fucking get rock hard. No. I go, yeah, believe it.
I remember stifling a physical groan, be like, bleh. I left and drove back home and then called a couple people and were like, what's my life about here now? What am I doing with my life?
It really made you dive deep into yourself?
I was raised Catholic, so I like anytime like sex goes weird with me, it automatically turns into guilt. It automatically makes me feel weird about it. Yeah, like if sex fine, I'm like top of the world, every decision I've made is completely correct. Anytime there's a weird moment, I'm like, what are you doing with your life, Billy? You got to get your life on track, maybe read the Bible a little more. Something like that. It just makes me feel like, oh, people are right, I shouldn't be doing this.
You know what's interesting about the way that Billy tells a story is that first story had no details. It was just like, I fucked this chick, the condom got in there, next thing we know, we're buying plan B, right? There wasn't
a lot of details.
Yeah, there
was. Well, everybody online was wanting to know, how did you eat the mushrooms? Did you just raw dog them?
They were just dried mushrooms, and I just ate them. Which everybody talks about how gross mushrooms are, but I don't know, it tastes like all vegetables to me. They're all kind of gross. Mm. So I felt like they're fine. Like, we ate some this weekend, and people were like, how can you eat them dry? I'm like, it all tastes gross.
Brett, let me ask you a question, Brett. you are a person, correct me if I'm wrong, that is taking mushrooms in your life, Brett?
I'm high on mushrooms right now, Felicia.
And how is four caps with...
Four caps is a lot. I don't believe this story. I do not believe that you could even get a hard-on four caps. I don't believe you could keep your concentration going.
People don't fuck on mushrooms?
I've had sex on mushrooms.
Really?
Yeah. Was it good sex?
It didn't feel like a sexual drug.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The lights were out.
Win-win.
Anyway,
I've but only was known the girl people to be on, I'm really sorry. Giggly on mushrooms.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, it got real intense. And I think
she was on mushrooms,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, and after we sobered up, she told me that she thought that the girl from The Ring was outside the door. That's a true. That's not part of my stories here.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
you're
me
like,
in a wig.
Bring her in, baby.
Yeah.
Bring her in.
Yeah. Did you see other? Yeah. That's a good point because I know I've done acid. I've only done mushrooms once, but I didn't do a lot of them because I was too afraid. But I know the time I did acid and I was having sex, I thought the devil was in the bathroom. As I was
and he was watching you.
Instead, he was inside
preparing for your soul.
He was trying to get his condom back.
We had some mushrooms in Denver this weekend where it's legal and I had at least that many, but it was spread over the course of an hour. We didn't take them all at once.
Yeah, when you took those mushrooms, was it on an empty stomach? Do you remember?
I had something to eat right before the show, so it would have been like 2 hours earlier. I'd have had a relatively full stomach and then I ate the four mushrooms. The main reason I rushed the other round was like, how much time do I have to do it? But no, it was four of them or so. I mean, again, I ate like just a handful of them, so I'm just sort of guessing how many. But I've eaten a mushroom before, and I haven't really ever gotten to the point where I feel like I'm completely out of my mind, like tripping. Like, because I did acid. I've done acid like 3 times.
Uh-huh.
And acid hit me way harder. It felt chemical. It like felt like a trip.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Mushrooms have just never gotten me to a point where I didn't feel like I couldn't function. They just make me feel very in my head.
All right.
Brett, can I ask Brett a quick question?
Okay.
Brett?
Hello.
Do you think when someone adds more details to a lie or to a story that, you know, they're telling... Do you assume it's a lie or do you assume it's the truth? You know
see,
what I'm saying?
Here's the thing. I don't know if I go by that. I just go by instinct on whether, I mean, I know one of these stories isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So that story sounded more untrue than the first story. Just kind of a general sense. I've done mushrooms lots of times and having sex goes way down the list of things you want to do when you're tripping balls on mushrooms.
What it's is the number thing. One thing?
Well,
on
let me back up
laugh
and say, though.
I sit around a campfire.
I didn't want to fuck, but I'd already written checks that my dick had to cash at that point. You know what I mean? Like, I'll come over there and do it right now.
Yeah,
you know?
I would have ghosted her for sure. I would have been like, no way. I'm not. You want to sit around a campfire and make jokes and laugh and
look at the stars.
It's just I can't. I couldn't do it. So that's the part of the two stories. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that I'm going to.
Have you ever lost a condom in somebody?
I don't use condoms.
You don't look Mexican. Oh, great. Can do it. Okay. I canceled. I guess I just lost SNL. Right.
You can do it, but we all just have
to. You're right. By the way, I always wear them.
Like Hollywood canceled this man.
I'm really itching to see Joel's next story.
Yes.
Because I want to see how he tells his story.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Back to seriousness, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've been, since like the fourth grade, got diagnosed with like clinical depression, panic disorder.
Man,
like
you're going serious with all this stuff.
Ever since you saw that body, it fucked
That's
you up.
Right. Well,
you
so
don't
I
have
was.
Any fucking ghost stories
hey,
or something?
You know, Jessica, this one's take a fucking breather. Let's try to remember this is our guest.
Yeah, or the
I'm
next
saying?
Story I tell may be about you. Yeah.
But this is before you saw the body in fourth grade. You would have been nine-ish, ten-ish. Yeah.
And so... Whatever. I always had trouble in school, blah, blah, blah. In high school, I left my public high school to go. I was doing really bad, and they sent me to this special school for like kids that have that, blah, blah, blah.
Is that called continuation school?
No. I dropped out of that. I ended up dropping out of high school altogether. But I went to this school for a little while, and it was like for kids with all kinds of stuff like that. And but I ended up going here, and there were like kids who were severely like, mentally ill, like schizophrenia and stuff like that. And there was this one kid who had schizophrenia. He would always wear sunglasses, and he would draw like circles on his body. He thought that the government had put stuff in under his skin. And little side note, he wrote like amazing poetry. Like he would read these things and I was like, oh wow, like he's in touch with something else. And we became friends. And one day he was having like a, I've had a cough for a few weeks. You fucking, no, okay.
it felt like a fake cough.
I've been clearing my throat all over here. Look at Jessica. You're like the bully that likes the victim. You're like that person right now.
Stop it some more.
The bully that has a crush on
Lucy
someone.
On Charlie
and gonna,
Brown.
Yeah, I know.
Hey. I love Joel. I did, but that felt fake.
I don't know if, Felicia, I don't know if you were in the room before we started, but Jessica let the loudest, grossest, wettest belch before we all started.
Dude. She said
so I don't think she's in any position to be judging.
No, but that was real. I'm saying that felt...
Yeah, real gross.
That felt like a fake cough. Like he was like...
Well, I think he's just trying to do good since you fucking hounded him about his first story. He wants to clear his throat.
And
to
my reputation.
Good, yes.
There was no winning for you. If you'd left the cough on us, you'd why's your throat all grass?
Yeah.
Like a liar.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Don't let her victimize you. Keep going.
I won't. Can I continue?
Ow! I'm the bull.
I don't want it to happen again, you know? Okay. So, now I got the giggles. All right. So I became friends with this guy. He invited me and two other friends over to his house for like a kickback, whatever, like to hang out, to drink and stuff. And I go to his house. I walk in. He's got like reptiles like everywhere, like snakes and stuff like that with heat lamps, blah, blah, blah. Like,
did he live in the same part of town that you lived in?
No, he lived in, I want to say he lived in Cypress Park or Glassell Park, not too far.
Right.
But they would, I get bused to school and they would like, I would go through all these neighborhoods to pick up all the other kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I went over, my parents dropped me off and, I remember bringing like, I don't know if I brought the bag, there was like a bag of, this is the type of like dumb young shit we were doing. It was like, I brought a bag of like weed seeds and we were eating the seeds for some reason thinking it would, anyway, so we're hanging out, they're drinking, we're whatever, we're chilling in his room. And then he goes, do you want to see my dead animal collection? And I was like, you think it's like butterflies or bugs, like how people collect them and put them under glass? And I'm terrified to clear my fucking throat now. Thanks, Your Majesty. And so
she's having a time of her life. Look
I'm
at
glad one of us is. Yeah.
All right.
So he says, do you want to see my dead animal collection? And I was like, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I was like, yeah, because I thought it was just like bugs or whatever. Mm-hmm. He proceeds to pull these big boxes out of his closet, open it up, and he's got like jars of like, I don't know if it's formaldehyde or what the fuck, but he had like an iguana head. He had little birds. He had a puppy in one of them.
Wow.
He said he found all of them. There was like, I can't remember all this. I think there was like maybe a squirrel, snakes for sure. And it was weird. They were all in these like weird little jars and stuff. And then he put them away and we just like proceeded to hang out. But I remember it kind of being like a fucking kind of crazy thing. He had a puppy. It was fucking...
Do you know what breed it was?
I don't know. Which ones die real young? No, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a pit. I'm going to be really upset.
No. It wasn't a pit. It was like a
labradoodle.
No.
Yeah.
No, and he had...
or dogs.
Yeah, like birds and stuff. I'm trying to think of all the
Did
the
you ever hang
had.
Out with him after that? Or did that freak you out too much?
I never went over to his house again. Yeah. Like, I left that school pretty soon after that. I was already, like, over... I hated school for my first day of kindergarten. So I was, like, ready to get out. And I think I just, like... Yeah, I kind of... I'd see him at school and stuff. But I don't think I ever went over... I didn't go over to his house ever again.
We don't want you to say his name. Do you know what happened to him? Did he become a serial killer? Because that is some serial killer like shit right now.
Started this podcast, Kill Tony, and now he's in the main room every Monday.
It's also a very schizophrenic thing to do. My uncle, you know, was schizophrenic and all, and I could see him doing something like that.
Just now you're trying to be nice to me. All right, I get it.
No, I'm not trying to be nice. My uncle was crazy.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Wow, that's... does anybody have any questions about that one? So, story online, Austin.
No, everybody's kind of picking it apart, as usual. And Ken is reflecting on his times in the original room when Joel Berg here was kind of grilling Don Barris on some questions. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't feel too guilty about grilling Joel here on our podcast because he did it to Don Barris.
All right.
Somebody needs to fight for Don fucking Barris.
I think... Well, there's other things that happened that night, but I'll whatever.
Right. Oh, the night that you saw all the dead things?
No, yeah, and I can't remember. I ended up getting, I may or may not have gotten frisky with some girl in the same room that he showed me the collection.
You were nine with. Doing the frisky?
No. I was, this was when I was in high school. I was like in the ninth, like maybe early 10th grade.
Oh. You got diagnosed with depression when you
were young. Yeah, fourth grade. That was, I brought that up because of it led to me going to that school.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting thing. Jessica is right. When you see people like Billy tell two stories, you know, and one has way more facts and one doesn't, but you felt more connected to that story, even though you didn't have all the facts in the correct time, you know what I mean, to memory. So it's interesting to see which one is the lie. And they're both about, it's interesting also to see like your stories was about fucking chicks and yours are both about dead things.
Mm. I'm glad both of ours weren't anything.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. True. So we're going to do a vote. So if everyone wants to get together their vote, before we do the vote and before Jessica like pins him down and starts chewing on his neck.
I thought I could make Joel crack.
Oh, is that what you were doing?
Yeah, I thought he would at least give up something. At least in his face, I would be able to tell.
I know. Uh-huh. I honestly, because you started off the podcast saying, I'm so nervous. And you don't seem nervous at all with your storytelling.
I'm amongst friends. I finally relaxed, you know.
Even though Jessica's all over you. All right. So once again, please do us a big favor. We just got some sponsors. We've been doing this podcast for a year. This is our first sponsors. And we're totally excited to announce that Handy.com is one of our sponsors as well. Handy is a platform for connecting individuals looking for household services with top quality. At the end of the podcast, what we're going to do is we'll put more information about Handy.com and Blue Apron. And remember that if you go to Handy.com, you can get your first cleaning for $39 when you sign up and use Liars.
Liars. Yeah, just Liars.
Just Liars. So for both Blue Apron and Handy.com, just use Liars if you wanted to get some meal service, you know, delivery or someone to clean your house or any of that. Please give that a try. And let's do the vote now.
All the recap?
Yeah.
All right. Billy's first story. It was June 2016, and he took his first trip to sunny Los Angeles. He had a bad set, but ends up scoring and hooks up with some girl. But while they're making sweet love, the condom slips off and disappears inside her. So he goes and buys some Walgreens brand Plan B, and he was a little broke, so he asked her to go in on it, and the cashier shamed him for being poor. Story two.
No. That cashier didn't shame him for being poor. The cashier shamed him for being that big of a douchebag.
I think it was all of the above.
A lot of women wouldn't be cool with that. Yeah. Implying they're like, wow, that's pretty sad.
Yes. You know,
so. Well, second story, he was running the Gateway Show at the Comedy Spot, which, by the way, Ken Lofgren saw you and Michael on somewhere in Tacoma or something.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. In Tacoma, Washington.
So close ties to the Liars Club already. Yeah. And they would do a bit there where everybody texts Billy weird things. Well, one show he gets a weird text to meet this mushroom dealer outside and the guy gives him a bunch of mushrooms and then disappears into the Sacramento streets. Then this one girl he had exchanged sweet text messages with invited him over to aggressively bang. So he had just eaten a handful of the shrooms and thought he was super sexy on mushrooms and it would be a good idea to drive over there. And he did. He gets there. He's tripping balls. And he could not F her like he hated her, so she never wanted to see him again.
Did you come to fruition with her on the mushrooms?
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, really? So not only was she like, oh, I can't believe I'm fucking that comedian from the show. She was like, I can't believe I'm fucking the comedian from the first show who can't keep it hard.
No, I didn't come in the first story. But when your condom slips off, you know, like pre-cum and stuff, we want to make sure.
Oh, you didn't come in the first story?
No. Well, I'm just realizing that both of these stories, I don't come. Wow. What fun life I'm living over here.
We just, that's
Billy
all
Anderson
we wanted.
Getting laid all the time. I mean, I don't come, but I visit.
Wow. Even if, wow. So you left,
even
that's
in your lie,
I mean,
you didn't come. The, you should have came in your lie.
In the condom.
I know.
In the condom coming off story, that what it just we were getting there. I fully believe I would have gotten there if the condom hadn't come. I was feeling pretty close when the condom came off because I was like, this feels great.
Oh, see, you know, I thought you came to fruition and then realized afterwards the condom had come off. No, that's what I thought.
I mean, if you wear the condom right, if you're pulling out, you look down, you're going to be like, oh, there it is. Uh-huh. You know, and
so you felt it come off and then you stopped.
I felt it get better, and then I was looking at my own dick as men are wont to do, be like, I'm great, I'm having sex. You know, life's awesome. Uh-huh. And then I was like, I don't think there's a condom in that, so I pulled fully out. I was like, verified, no condom.
I thought you came so hard that it blew the condom. Oh.
I thought you were going to say bobsled style and just shoved it down.
Fucking geyser
she
style.
She pulls it out of her nose like a magician.
It was
I wish that was the story. I wish that was true. I wish that it was just like it came so hard that blew it right out like the Hulk's t-shirt.
You had to buy plan B for just pre-cum? Like,
Dude,
how strong do you think your cum is, dude?
Listen, if it were up to me, I'd have been like, we're fine. Yeah. But as an independent working woman, I'm sure
she... He wanted to keep going.
Here's my thought. I thought at that point, if you were already like, we need to get plan B, I was like, well, we might as well fuck some more then. You know what I mean? Like, I might as well come inside you if you're going to take a plan B anyway. I mean,
that's why I think that story's true.
I didn't catch and I don't think you said a lot of that nuance. I thought that, like you said, that you blew the condom off of her. That's hilarious, by the way. But now that makes me rethink that story, you know? Yeah.
Makes me think that chivalry's not dead. And
I feel very mixed about my judgment of
myself.
Although,
if we say that's true, that means that he stopped without jacking off or anything, or coming before they went to get plan
that
B.
Goes against
Yeah, but where
everything.
The fuck am I supposed to do that? Am I supposed to go into her bathroom and be like, well, before we go there, I'm going to go handle my own business, you know?
Yeah.
No. At that point, shame had ruined my erection anyway. I mean, it helped some people, but I can't deal with it. You know?
And then the second story, when you are on mushrooms, you didn't come to fruition either.
I didn't come, but there was no way. I felt like I was surprised that I was even getting hard.
Do you think that
thing.
Chick will ever come back to one of your shows?
No, probably not. But I don't know. She only came to one of them, so it wasn't.
Right. What about if she came back to the show and then, as you're on stage, she you see her just whispering to someone's ear? Would you be like, oh, she's probably telling them I fucking was on mushrooms?
I mean, I wouldn't be upset. I'd be like, that's fair. That's fair. Live your truth.
Okay.
I'm changing my mind. Okay. I think the first one is a lie now because he didn't come. He would have came.
I mean, that's my life. I don't think that at that point I was already so ashamed and I felt like I already failed this woman that I'm not going to be like, but what about Billy Anderson? Especially when I know, she's talking about plan B. I know my bank account at that point. That was the end of a tour. At that point, we'd spend most of our money up front and I was waiting on Eventbrite to get me the money back the next week. I was broke, which is how I was doing the Gateway Show for like the first 3 out of the 4 years is like spend all my money, get it all going, and then wait a week for all the ticket sales to come back. So by the time she had mentioned plan B, I'm over here going like, boo, I don't know if I got whatever that costs money, but we'll see, you know? I've blown them on the gas station condoms.
Let's take a vote. What do people online say? What is the consensus there, Austin?
The majority is that Billy's second story is a lie. Ken, Matthew, Hostetter, and Dark Star all think Billy's second is a lie. Melody Martinez and Raver Basher, however, think that the first is a lie for Billy. The first story, and I tend to agree with that.
You do?
Because I thought that you did say you did come inside of her, and that's why you had to get the plan B, because she was
mad
that there
was. No, he did never say, I do remember, he never said he came in the beginning. He didn't.
That's the most embarrassing part of the whole thing.
Yeah, you're a shitty storyteller, too. You didn't tell us that for no kidding.
What do you mean, too? You said you liked my shit.
I love your story.
I was a little nervous too. I didn't want to go over time, so I wasn't trying to like fill it in with extraneous details because I thought there'd be questions. So,
but always in a fuck story, there's got to be the cum part of it. That's like the ending of the crescendo of the story, and you didn't give that information.
Right, now that makes it sound fancy. The crescendo.
Sorry, I didn't mean to crescendo all over your bed sheets.
What do you think?
I agree. Well, I'm like you. I if it fell off and I hadn't come, I'd still be in my head because I don't want kids so much that I'd be terrified about.
Okay, so I'm halfway to you. So I was not. It was not about that. Yeah. It was because the moment it happened, she was, you know, not super happy when you got to go fish the condom out of yourself.
But he still wanted to keep going.
But I was like, well, she was like, we could get plan B. I said, well, then okay. Well, Let's finish. Don't have to rush there. We could keep fucking. And at this point, I mean. You know, we don't need to use the condom that because in for a penny, in for a pound. If I had something, if you were going to get pregnant, it's all we've already been exposed. Let's just keep going. And
I'm
going
to say that one's a lie.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Which one?
The first, the condom falling off part.
You think that's
not
a lie?
Because it couldn't happen, but I don't think it did.
Yeah, I think that's the lie too.
Because right now, I think you brought up if I have something, the disease thing. It's like that would have been, I don't know, something about that stuck out to me. But yeah. I'm, you know.
All right, Brett, what do you think? You think the second story is a lie, right?
Yeah, I think the mushroom story.
Even though he never told us, and we now know that he didn't come at the end.
I think he only said that because I said that when you asked me what I thought, that you just wouldn't be into having sex. So then he added that detail in later.
Yeah.
I mean, I fully agree. I was not into having sex at that point. But sometimes you write checks, you got to cash them.
All right, I'm going to say the... yeah, and sometimes...
Who's writing checks anymore, really?
And sometimes when you tell a fucking story, you go to talk about the crescendo! My apologies.
It made crescendo... It didn't make coming sound fancier, it made crescendo sound worse. That's all it was.
That's my skill set. Anyway, so...
Traver Basher said you should have fished the condom out with a wire hanger and you could have saved the Plan B money.
Oh my God.
I felt bad about reading that.
Where can you even find a wire hanger?
Instead of blowjob, he says mouth love. And then all of a sudden, we get the hanger, right? And then we spread her leg. Like, you know what I mean?
We do. And it's not downstairs business. Can be dicks. Yeah. Okay.
I think the mushroom story is true. I'm going to say the mushroom story is true.
Oh, you're with
true.
Us then?
I'm going to yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, you're with me and Joel.
Okay.
Me and Yol.
So which story is the lie?
Oh, I give the answer now?
Yes.
The mushroom story is a lie. Yeah, totally a lie. It's a mixture of like four different things that happened to me.
Brett was right.
I should always listen to Brett.
That's how he was spot on with that being right. I overestimated the amount of mushrooms I take. So in Sacramento, I did have somebody give me mushrooms that I took alone in a hotel room. That happened, and I did eat that many, but I certainly didn't have sex or jerk off. I just sort of sat there and was like bummed for a while. And I did have a girl hit me up after a show in Sacramento, and she did say midway through sex, I can't believe I'm hooking up with the comedian from the show, and I wanted to puke next to her bed.
Crescendo.
I was so mortified. I wanted to crescendo a gun into my fucking mouth. And I did have a girl tell me one time, "Fuck me like you hate me," and I laughed. And I said, "I don't know if I can do that. I don't think I hate like you do." And so it was all those things I tell that as a joke on stage, but it is a mixture of all those things, and that's why I was able to give so much details because I've been telling that story for like a year.
Oh, okay.
And adding details to it as stand-up.
When people have a lot of details, sometimes that's mostly the lie, I find, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, congrats to the majority.
Up and down.
Yeah.
That was the first time Raver Basher, Ken, Matthew Hosted, or Dark Star, they all called it that time. So good job, guys.
You didn't fool
good
those job. People online.
No, they're very good. And I take nothing away from their victory.
Raver Basher knew because he said no one makes out with mushroom breath.
Very good point.
But if you look at the other story, I'm okay with disappointing women. So it's like, maybe.
What's anyway? Never mind.
Okay. All right. So moving on to Joel's story.
All right. His first story is from Frogtown, close to the LA River, which when he was a kid was pretty gross, and homeless folks lived down there. And one day they're walking down in that area, and there's a homeless guy that offered to sell them a flashlight. They didn't have the money to buy the flashlight, so they said no. And the homeless guy subsequently showed them a dead body for some reason. In his second story, he has struggled with depression since fourth grade, and he got sent to a special school with some weird poet kid who used to draw circles on his arm so the government wouldn't get him. And he visits this weirdo's kid's house, which seemed like a bad choice to me, but he had all these reptiles there, and he even had a dead animal collection and showed Joel the dead animals, including a puppy. And Joel has not recovered since.
Now, once again, the second story had so much detail.
Yeah. So did Joel see a dead body or dead animals?
He saw something dead. We know that.
Yeah.
In America, what's worse, a dead human being or a puppy in a jar? I feel like America hates people more than they love puppies.
Way to bring it down, Billy. Anyway, I think the first story is the true story because I just learned my lesson with Billy where there's too many details. Then, you know, that tends to be the lie. What do you think, Austin?
Well, I want to side with you, but I initially wrote that Joel's first story is a lie. Because it seems like there would have been some details, like we went home, we told my mom, then my mom called the cops, and then the news did this whole thing because there was a dead body by the LA River. I don't know. I didn't grow up in LA, so I don't really know like if that's that big of a deal. Somebody online actually said that it happens all the time in East LA, so maybe it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. But.
Right.
That's what leads me to.
They're just a plant there to add veracity to your story. Be like, oh no, it happens every day. Yeah, right. All the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say that the first one is a lie. Mostly because the second story, I could see myself. I went to a weird school, whatever they called, Gauze Academy it was called. Mm-hmm. And you had to like be failing or whatever to get in there. And I could see myself hanging out with a lot of those type of kids. And you also said something, you added a little detail and I can't remember it right this moment.
She made out with the girl in the same room?
Above dead animals. Were you able to come to fruition having sex above dead animals?
No, I remember I couldn't. Nothing worked.
Were you like, the puppy, the puppy?
No. I was a little more dead inside at that age. Okay. Like, I didn't start caring about things till my like adulthood, maybe 28.
He was saving that for when he wanted her to leave. She's like, oh, that was great. Hey, let me show you this jar I found.
Yeah, so I think the first one's a lie.
You do?
I do.
Yeah. What do you think, Brett? You have kids. Do you think it's possible that someone would come home after saying that they were in an area they probably weren't supposed to be in and that their mother wouldn't call the police?
I don't know about that, but I will say this. I think the first story is a lie because I think the second story is true because I don't want to believe that Joel could make up a story with those kind of freaky, sick, a puppy in a jar kind of details. I want that to be true because if that's not true, then this dude really went to some work to think up a fucking
It's my
story.
Dead animal collection.
Yeah, what about if that's the truth? That's his dead Jessica animal has a collection. Dead
cat. I have it here with me. All right.
Jessica has a dead cat in her freezer.
Yeah, so. Like you can't be. Yeah, that's true, Jessica.
Yeah, no wonder there's a bond and a kinship between you two.
Oh my God. Jessica, I was totally thinking about you the other day because I read the story about this guy whose older mom died and he was cleaning out her freezer and there was a dead baby in the freezer. Oh, and I thought, about you, I almost tagged you in it.
Baby, yes. She kept it in there until she died.
Yes,
yeah.
And he said when he would always ask her, "Hey, what's in that shoebox?" And she'd be like, "Oh, wedding cake." And I was like, "This is some Jessica shit right here."
I can't believe you never looked.
Who names their baby wedding cake?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good joke. That's a good joke.
I'll do it tonight.
Yes.
After 3 years, they get all freezer burnt anyway.
Yeah. Oh.
I love the idea of you bringing the bottles though, like you're Steve Irwin on The Tonight Show. Like we have this right here.
So, what do you think is a lie? You said you thought the first one.
I thought the first one, but I might change mine because also if you saw that, you would probably go to school and be like, this kid has some weird junk at his house. And then the kid would probably get in trouble, I would think, for having dead animals and
stuff. Yeah, I don't see you keeping that a secret. Like that.
See, I have Southern history. I'm like, I don't know. I can imagine some of those kids got formaldehyde animals and shit.
Yeah, where do you get formaldehyde? Is this pre? Ordering formaldehyde off the internet. Like, where do you get formaldehyde?
It was a liquid. I don't know if it was formaldehyde.
I used to
crescendo
kill butterflies.
Matthew Bowen said, "We haven't taken care of that cat popsicle yet."
I know, right? Right?
I used to kill butterflies as a kid. Right? Yeah. I was doing a butterfly.
How? In what manner?
Yeah, how did you kill them?
I beat them to death.
I scolded them until they killed themselves.
Is you dip a piece of like toilet paper or paper towel in
chloroform?
In alcohol?
Okay.
Every step I'm like, where the fuck is this?
You put it in the jar, at the bottom of the jar, and then you put the butterfly in there and close it up.
And you slowly put a live watch them die?
Butterfly in a jar with rubbing alcohol?
How else was I supposed to get a butterfly collection? That's what I wanted. That's what I was going
for. Oh, you're killing them to like put them to like...
Yeah!
Okay,
yeah,
what am I supposed to masturbate
and
then to?
Yeah, exactly. I like to look at their eyes and watch the life drain out of it.
That's so fucked up. That's so fucked up what you said, Joel. Monarchs, monarchs, monarchs.
It's so lifeless.
So how long would it take once you... And I'm sorry, we're going to get right back to the voting, but this is disturbing.
If I remember correctly, it didn't take very long.
Yeah.
I'm sure the butterfly didn't feel that way.
I love the judgment in that. Like, look at that little pussy dying so quickly. Oh, your brother lasted two times that night.
How many butterflies did you kill?
Oh.
They don't have butterflies in North Carolina.
Yeah, she wiped out the whole population.
Extinct.
Yeah, a lot.
Like, just take a stab at it. How many butterflies?
I mean, probably not over 100.
Oh, fuck, Jessica. Wasn't your mom like, where the fuck is all the rubbing alcohol?
No, where the fuck are all the butterflies?
She helped me figure out how to do it.
Here, Jessica, take this rubbing alcohol, go out there to the yard, and feed it to the butterflies. Jesus. I can't deal with you no more.
I've come around on this story. This is sweet now. That's a mother and a daughter bonding.
I bought you this tiny knife.
Yeah. You got to slit their little throats.
I don't think this is weird at all. I don't see. How else do you think you kill a butterfly for a butterfly collection?
She left that part out before she was talking about it.
That's what I was saying. I would catch it with a jar and like a piece of paper. And then if I was going to be a fucking murderer of beautiful things on the planet, and then I would just.
You would slowly suffocate it?
Yeah. Yes, that's what I would do.
I mean, I would pick lethal injection.
Yeah, but you can't smash it because you got to display it in your butterfly book.
Exactly. And if you slowly suffocate it, that's suffering more. I think that's cruel. Yeah,
for me, I'm probably...
that's cruel.
So how long... And I'm just... Go ahead, Billy.
I would just say I'd probably just take a picture of the butterfly myself, but I get that.
Well, cameras weren't as prevalent.
Neither was porn. All right.
as the 100 gallons of rubbing alcohol that you needed.
Who's got a camera?
A lot.
We can't afford Polaroid.
Just fucking kill it and mount it.
So how did you mount them? Did you take it out of the rubber?
No, I had them in a photo album
for a long time. So you had to dry them out from the alcohol or?
No, I mean, I just put them and then I smushed them into the.
Do you still have that?
Just smash.
Yeah. Do you still have that?
No, I don't know. What happened to it? It was in a photo album.
Died for nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
All right. So who's all voting that the first story is a lie?
I'm voting first story lie.
First story is a lie.
I don't believe if that guy killed, if they were the same dude, if he was near a dead body, he'd be like, do you want this flashlight? Also, I killed this guy. I don't believe the guy would have the wherewithal to do both things.
I think if you're living in a cutout next to a dead body, your amount of wherewithal has diminished tremendously.
But he clearly has needs because he's trying to sell a flashlight, but he's so insane that he doesn't understand the consequences of either even just being around a dead body like that. Uh-huh. I don't know.
I don't think he killed it. I think he was just...
It. Well, that's good.
He was just there.
Well, I had a thought. What if maybe it wasn't even a dead body? What if it was just another homeless guy that's all...
It's a dirty blow-up doll.
Stinks. Like,
what if he was just sleeping?
Yeah. They got in their heads because they're kids, and they're like, oh, it was a dead body. Yeah, we saw a dead body.
Or maybe that's how they were going to trap you guys. One pretended to be dead, and then they were going to get you guys down there to look at the body. And
put us in a jar with rubbing alcohol.
Steal your flashlight.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
I remember as a kid, I saw a truck on the freeway, and I thought there was no driver, and I freaked the fuck out. But now that I'm an adult, it was like I was probably just a little person or something that I could.
Do you know you can actually put them in jars with alcohol?
You beat me to it. All right, I think the first story I'm saying the first story is true. I'm going to say the first story is true.
I'm still saying because I think that you would have had some sort of either you told your mom and she wouldn't have believed you. That's one possible thing. Or you told your mom and she said you couldn't go back. Or you told your mom she called the police. But none of those things, I don't believe.
Okay,
none
I'm
of those
back to the
happened.
Second story being the true story. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Because I think you changed your mind now? Yeah, because I think your mom, even if she didn't call the police because you said, oh, people didn't do that, I think she would have been so fucking mad that you were in that terrain. Even like a shitty mom, I'm sure your mom was a great mom, but even a shitty mom would be like, what the fuck, dude? You know what I mean? So I'm going to say, okay, the first story is true. The second story is a lie. Brett, what was your vote? This first story is a lie.
The first story is a lie.
All right. I say the first story is true.
Yeah.
I don't.
You say the second story is a lie.
No.
I say first story is a lie.
First story is a lie.
Okay. All right. Which story is a lie?
The first one.
See? Fuck. There you go.
The puppy thing fucked me up about the second story, though. It made me think it was a lie because that was where it crossed the line for me.
No, that was fucking real. And I got the first one because when I was a kid, some guy told me that story that it happened to him. He said the thing about the flashlights and he said the guy pulled back a thing and there was a dead body, but it never happened to me.
Was it someone that was older than you? Or
yeah, it was like
age?
One of my brother's friends. Like, oh, you know, okay. My brother's like 10, a lot older than me. Yeah. But yeah.
Can't you tell that a huge weight has been lifted off
Joel's
shoulders?
Oh, so it feels bad.
Yeah.
Oh, now I can take this condom off.
You've been using the same one for three times, and I just can't.
Well, you guys have been awesome guests. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your fucked up stories with us and for playing along and being good sports and all of the above. Do us a big favor. If you are listening to us through Spotify, through Podbean, through iTunes, number one, please remember that we do play this game, and it is a game besides a podcast, every Monday at 4:30 and most Fridays at 8:30 on the Comedy Store's YouTube page. That's one piece of information. The second piece of information is this. Please go leave us a review. You can leave us a review on iTunes. You can write something sweet on our own YouTube channel, which we have animations on there. We're just about to put up
a new
show.
Don't let this bra strap go to waste. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And but do us a big favor for all that. And then do me a big favor. If you have Amazon Prime, and I'm sorry that I keep bringing this up, but I do have a documentary on Amazon Prime that I put up during the summer called Pervs. Please go look at it. Leave a review. I also put up, and I'm very excited, my new comedy special, which is called The Whole Story. That's also on Amazon Prime.
With a W.
With a H. There's no W. The Whole Story. Very critical today, Jessica.
Anyway, no, I'm so trying to help.
But go and watch that if you want. It's a different type of thing, but if you're into that kind of thing, it's a real story that happened to me, but it's also a lot of comedy. Please do that. And where can people follow you guys, and what do you guys have? A shaken.
You can follow me on Instagram at Billy Tells Jokes. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/Billy Anderson. I also have a special on Amazon Prime called America's Sweetheart, and it's completely clean, as you can tell by my stories today. And other than that, I run the Gateway Show, gatewayshow.com, the show we mentioned earlier, and I have another one that is on the 16th of this month here in Hollywood, and I would love for you guys to come out anywhere that we do them.
All right. And you, Joel?
Me, I'm at Mostly Sorry on Instagram and Twitter. Kill Tony every Monday night, 8 p.m., Comedy Store Main Room. I'll be in Dallas doing that from the 3rd through the 5th at Hyenas. Sacramento, San Francisco, 16th through the 18th. And then we go to Australia at the end of the month.
That's so awesome. You guys put so much work into your show.
Oh,
it's inspiring. It's so inspiring to us. It really is.
I love all this shit. This is all great. This all charges my life for the next few days.
What are you going to be wearing tonight?
Secret.
Okay.
We'll tell you off the air.
Oh, very nice.
We'll talk about butterflies.
He's wearing all butterflies.
Brett, what do you have shaken? Tell us about your new podcast that you have.
I have a new podcast on YouTube called Issues with Andy. It's very funny. It's me. It's Andy Andrist. It's Greg Shaley and Chad Schenck from the Doug Stanhope podcast. Oh. It's on YouTube. It drops every Friday. And also, I will be this Friday night at the Ice House on the Death Squad secret show.
Oh, wonderful.
And I think
wonderful.
Most importantly of all, I was the only person in the Liars Club who got both of those right. So thank you very much.
Nice.
Right. And you're fired.
Okay. And what about you, Austin?
I'm at the Austin Walker on everything. Please follow our Instagram, the Liars Club 1, and our Twitter, Liars_Club. Put October 29th on your calendar because we're going to be back in the Belly Room at the Comedy Store. It's a Tuesday night, 8 o'clock show, right?
Tuesday nights are the best night at the Comedy Store, right before Roast Battle. We're so stoked for that show. Yeah.
It's going to be huge. Keep an eye on the YouTube this week. Like I said, subscribe because we're going to release a very special video. It's our Belly Room show from this week. Don't tell them that I told you that. And it's going to be wonderful.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Don't forget about our iSell show, though, on Saturday the 12th. We have Red Band already scheduled for that.
And by the way, Billy's going to be on our next October 29th show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Surprise.
No, I told you yesterday. I fucking told you yesterday.
I put him in the calendar.
Anything about me, she tunes out. She's like, yeah, Billy, whatever.
Great. So now we're going to have to put Joel on one.
Yeah. Perfect. Anyway.
Now, follow me at
God.
Follow me at Jess Wellington 2 on everything. Subscribe to our YouTube. And you have been mugged. Now, I'd like to bring up something that came to my attention is Handy.com.
Yes, tell me more about it.
I will, Felicia. So Handy is a platform for connecting individuals like us looking for household services with top quality pre-screened service professionals.
Okay.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
All right. From home cleaning to handyman service to even helping you move or set up that new smart TV.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
These days, TVs are smarter than I am.
Uh-huh.
Handy instantly connects customers with trusted professionals in cities around the world. With seamless, 60-second booking process, secure payment, and 100% money-back guarantee.
They also vet all the people that come to you. So
that's what that means.
Yeah.
And Handy is the easiest, most convenient way to book home services. Get your first cleaning for $39 when you sign up for a Handy cleaning plan.
What's the code word?
Oh, the code word is liars.
Wow.
So click on the link in the box in the comments below, or go to thehandy.com and put in the code liars.
No, it's a great thing, you know, when you try to get a handyman. As you know, I have an old vintage trailer that I live in, a two-bedroom trailer. Things are always breaking on it. And then to find someone to fix a certain thing takes forever.
Forever.
Can you imagine going to one site, put your information in, put our code word in, liars, and there you go. Bada bing, bada bang.
If you've got a leaky faucet, you got to get it fixed anyway. Use our code.
Right. There you go.